Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you, Moz. Fantastic show, as always. Cruising the back roads of Kauaʻine. Always a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. We've got Out of the Box. It's 4 o'clock. Coming up every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. in this time zone. And we're going to go into the top of the hour and do all that stuff. And we'll be back in a few moments. Listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Out of the Box, brought to you by fine, fine underwriters just like you, because that's how this show is made possible. I want to thank Kalaheo Chiropractic, Hawaii Gaga, and the Lions Golf.
Program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic, acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Auto accident, workman injury cases, and most major health insurance plans and Medicare accepted. Open Monday through Friday. Now a second location in Kapaʻa, 8220711, or Southside Center, 332-5580, or kalaheochiropractic.com.
HawaiiGaga.com, Hawaii Vacation Rental Directory and Vacation Guide. A proud sponsor of Kauai Community Radio, Hawaii Gaga also publishes the Kauai GPS Tour Guide, an audio tour of Kauai for iPhones. More information online at HawaiiGaga.com.
It's time again for the Kauai North Shore Lions Club annual golf tournament, Saturday, January 10th at the Makai Golf Course in Princeville. Registration starts at 6:30 a.m., followed by a shotgun start at 8 a.m. A golf ball drop has been added this year. Participants adopt a ball, which is then dropped from the helicopter in the practice area, as well as the usual fun events and contests. Entry fee includes lunch and lucky ticket drawings. All proceeds fund scholarships for North Shore students. More information online at KauaiNorthShoreLions.org. Click on Golf Tournament.
Mahalo Chiropractic of Kalaheo, Mahalo Hawaii Gaga, and Mahalo Lions Golf. It's folks like you that make what we do so possible and bring it to you. It's community radio. You got to love it. This is Jonathan Jay. We're Out of the Box. Getting rolling here. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. Happy New Year to you. 2015 MMXV for you Roman numeral folks out there. Just a lot going on in the world. Many, many wonderful things. Many silly things. And lots to reflect on for the year that we just passed. So we're going to sort of catch up with where things are today. And then we have a very special guest this afternoon, Francesco Garipoli. And we're going to be talking about boundary mavericks, epigenetics, and the power of the pause. What does that all mean? Well, we'll have to figure that out. We'll have to explore it. So, crazy world, huh? Brand new world, huh? We get to start all over again. We get to do it all over again. What were your best parts from last year? What were your most exciting things? What were your biggest accomplishments? What do you think that as a community here on this little island in the middle of the watery half of the world, what did we get right? What do we need to try again to still try and get right? What are our opportunities for improvement? Where will that new growth occur? I don't know about you, but I know that making change in the world, it's hard. It's hard. It's easy to point the finger outside, but the biggest changes in the world are the ones that you can make inside yourself. And I know for me, inside myself, it's a rat's nest in there. A lot to untangle. And sometimes it's scary. Real change is hard because it requires real change. You can't just change your window curtains. You can't just change the color of your house. You gotta go down to the foundation. Not so easy. But it's beautiful when you can get it right. So, brand new year. The whales have returned. That's pretty fantastic. I saw some tails out on Kauai Sands on the east side last week when I went surfing for the first time. That was pretty great. I went surfing again today. Two times in 1 week, Jonathan J. I might learn how to surf if I keep doing this. What are you going to learn this year? The lines are always open here at 826-7771. If you've never called in before, this is a great time to do it. If you have called in before, this is a great time for you to listen for somebody else to call in. 826-7771. A lot of things going on in the world. Did you catch the message from the Pope a couple weeks ago? He says that there are 15 different diseases that he's diagnosed inside the Catholic Church. And one of them he describes as an Alzheimer's of spirituality, a spiritual Alzheimer's. And that's where he feels that some of the clerical staff have forgotten their true calling to serve spirit and have gotten bogged down in bureaucracy. Does that sound like anything familiar to you? He's a brave man to try and bring change to such a venerable and aged institution with so many traditions, so long, so deep, some good. Ooh, and then there's those other ones. What else? New movies. New movies trying to come out. Have you guys heard of The Interview? A fantastic new comedy that Sony may or may not release? With Jimmy Franco and Josh. Oh, it's a brilliant comedy. And they had some problems getting it released. Some kind of hacking and a nefarious plot of North Koreans who, I don't know if it's true or not, but the movie is about a hilarious madcap comedy to assassinate the president of North Korea. And for some reason, which I can't quite understand, some North Koreans didn't think that was so funny. I can't really imagine how funny Americans would think if somebody made a screwball comedy about the assassination of Barack Obama. Not so funny. Not so funny. I don't know how many people in this country would be laughing. But, you know, North Korea is always fair to kick around. They have, a third of their population starving to death while they spend billions of dollars on nuclear weapons. Wait, that sounds like somebody else, too. Pot calling the kettle black. Maybe it takes one to know one. Maybe we could all make some big steps forward in this year. I'm going to leave lots of space in the show today because Dave, Mr. Dave Giroux, he's not in here anymore. He took a leave of absence, a sabbatical. He said retirement, but I don't believe him. He's done it before, and I'm sure he'll be back again. He may call in later today at 826-7771. I don't know that Dave has ever called into the show. So he would be perhaps like you, a first-time caller. First-time caller, 826-7771. The show today is dedicated to all the new babies on the island and on the world, the ones who have been here for such a short time they haven't even seen more than one or two or three moons, or maybe they've been around a whole year, they just made a year. Babies, they are the next vertebra in our continuous backbone, reaching into the future, extending all the way to the past, right here in the middle of time. We got a fresh baby in Kilauea. I don't know if she can hear my voice right now. Mila Rose, Kalani Mullenkamp, a new baby girl. And boy, is she alert. And there's other new babies around the world. There's a Novia, brand new baby out in Chicago. We got other babies on the way. It's kind of nice. I don't have any babies, so I really appreciate other people's babies. That's what I like to do. Uncle Jonathan. We have a caller who's called in. Does he want to go online? Has he ever called in before?
Going on the air.
First time caller?
Danny.
All right. Let's see. Phone on. Phone on. Aloha caller, you're on the air. Aloha caller. Go ahead. That's not the phone. That's the phone. And that's the phone.
Got this one.
Got him. I got him. Oh, and I have to have this one too? Not that one. Not that one. Only these.
Correct.
How about now, caller?
Hello?
There we go. It only takes three of us.
I just talked to the Pope and Madonna, and they're going to call you, Jonathan.
What are they going to call me?
Oh, they're going to call you sometime because they know how much you really want a first-time caller because, you know, they're going to give you, you know, a new opinion, something new and different that you've never heard about before.
Like I'm hearing right now for the very first time of this year.
Yeah, you need like Madonna, just like a virgin. And then even though I must say this Pope is turning out to be quite an exceptionally good Pope.
He doesn't seem like the old Pope.
No, he's doing progressive things. He gave a scathing report about the church, which is unheard of, you know, which is really good, you know. I mean, he sits in a golden palace, you know, the Vatican.
I've been there. It's not gold. No, it's a pale cream color. And you know what? There's virtually no adornment on the exterior. I was really struck.
They have so much money, though.
Yeah, but you know what? It's old money. So they keep it all inside. On the outside, it's actually fairly austere. I was surprised.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like sort of a cream stucco with no molding, no ornamentation, very stark. They're like, we don't need to ornament our building.
You know, I'll be quick, and thanks, and Happy New Year, everybody, and you too, Jonathan. You know, I have a dog that I really love, and I take a lot of pride in taking good care of my animal, and it makes me sick that there's so much animal abuse in this world. It's just like, you know, there's every excuse in the book for people to neglect their animals except the truth that they're lazy or they're irresponsible or they're cruel and they don't care, right?
You're talking about the animals?
Yeah.
Because I don't really know any animals like that. I only know people like that.
Yeah, exactly. The world would probably be a much better place without humans, obviously.
Well, it would be different, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I don't think... Who knows? There's something good and bad about humans, obviously.
There you go. See, now I don't think you would have said that last year, Danny. I think you would have just stuck to the negative.
I would have.
Are you turning over a new leaf?
I'm talking to myself, you know. I mean, I have to start with myself, improving myself, you know, taking better care of myself, getting a little less angry, a little less fed up, you know. Even though there's a lot of things in this world to still get PO'd about, let me tell you, you know. But you know, some things like, you know, you know, my friend, her sister has cancer, and I learned on Democracy Now! The other day, America has more cancer than any other country in the world.
You know why?
probably because they eat so much corn-fed beef.
It's because we're number one. We're number one, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
We are effing number one. That's right.
Exactly.
Don't you forget it.
It probably is because they eat so much GMO corn-fed beef, right?
Well, Americans are very competitive, is why.
Poultry, chicken, and stuff like that. Even though in other countries, I mean, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows why? It's too bad there's cancer in any country and ill health, you know.
Well, but let me ask you this.
What
about the positive? And I'm going to do this every time you call in. Every time you call in, Danny, I'm going to ask you about something positive. No, I don't want to hear about it. Nope. Skip that.
Nope.
Positive, Danny, or we're going to go to the next caller.
Yeah, right. Okay, we've got a lot of aware people that know that eating good and eating healthy food is good for your health. Duh. You know, I mean, it's a remarkable trend. I also heard this.
No, let's stick with that. Let's stick with eating good food.
Because people want GMO foods labeled.
Yeah.
That what people so far could figure out, like high fructose corn syrup.
No, that's we're veering off the good, Danny.
Well, people aren't buying the food at the grocery stores that are blatantly, you know, high fructose corn.
Yeah, you're veering.
Coca-Cola.
You're veering back to the good, Danny.
Okay, back to the good.
There we go.
Okay.
All right.
Back to the
Thank
good.
You.
You know,
Thank you.
Some things are big problems and some things are little problems. And I had a little problem.
No.
Even though it
no, you're veering good. Again.
Am I?
Yeah. No, give me one good thing, and then we're going to go on to the rest of the show.
One good thing.
That's right.
Jonathan Jay, you know, now that he's a surfer, maybe he'll run for mayor next year.
Something to think about. Something to think about. And in this moment of thinking about it, I'll give you some quiet time, some music. And then we'll be back with our guest. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks so much for joining us today on KKCR on Out of the Box, your community radio. Jonathan Jay, you get tuned in to Out of the Box every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. I do 1 week, then Jimmy Trujillo does the next. You never know what it's going to be. That's why it's Out of the Box. Today, our special guest is Francesco Garipoli. How would you describe yourself, Francesco? It's you're a series of beautiful contradictions to me.
Aloha, Jonathan.
Aloha.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. Come va?
Tutto bene, tutto bene. Because we're here in Kauai, you know, people forget how beautiful it is. How can you want
and how could
on a
they
place like
how
this?
Could they even do that?
Oh my God, I do it and I try not to. So I'm a person who consciously tries to think positively, and I see how easy it is to slip into the sludge. But I met a Nobel laureate many, many years ago, back in the 70s, and he said to me, Ilya Prigogine, he said...
What's his name?
Ilya Prigogine. You could look it up. I think he won his Nobel Prize in 77. Prigogine, a genius guy.
A Prigogenius.
Yeah, Prigogenius. You're a genius, too. So here's what he said. He got his Nobel Prize for this one simple statement in this work he did.
And what year was this?
77, I believe it was. He said, all biologically evolving systems have to reach a point of maximum perturbation or chaos before they can reach their next higher level of order.
Oh, well, that's good news.
Yes, it's the best thing for Danny and for everybody.
Yeah.
Because things got to go stink face. They got to get... I hate to say they have to get bad before they get worse. It's not like that.
No.
You have to
have to fail.
Yeah. Or they have to reach a point of this beautiful critical energy where you finally choose to do the right thing. You finally choose to make a choice that is proactive. That's what this is about.
As I understand things, and I know this is only one way to look at it, but if you have a system and energy is coming into that system, the system sort of configures itself. It harmonizes in a way that it can gracefully accept that energy coming in.
Exactly.
And then when you have a differing amount of energy, let's say more energy starts coming into the system has an existing pattern that was good for that other level, but then it has additional potency coming in, and it kind of shakes and it shifts and it gets kind of perturbed.
Sure.
Maximally perturbed. Absolutely. until somehow at some point it reaches a place where it just kind of flips, and then it reaches a new kind of tranquil stability.
Exactly. And what Prigogine did and why he won the Nobel Prize is he was basically talking to entropy. Now, for people who don't know physics, entropy is the idea that things decay, things fall apart. And he said, no way. What looks like, quote unquote, falling apart is really that point after that maximum perturbation, after that chaos, where they're reordering to a higher level. So I think if we remember that for ourselves, man, it just gives you a whole new perspective and a responsibility on what our own energy, our personal dreaming, if this whole thing is a dream, this experience that we're dreaming, we have an amazing influence on the outcome. So no matter how crazy the energy is outside of you, we have to keep saying, where do I fit in? What part of my energy contribution is going to shift this thing? And I think you have to be really selfish. You come to a real selfish place to do good for the community.
I think that's really true. I hope it's true. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm kind of a selfish person.
I knew it. That's why I came here today.
Yeah, I'm kind of a selfish person. And
I hoped I was going to balance it in some way, you know, to like help save people from your extreme selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? The more
and I thank you for it.
It's my selfish service because
you like that.
I'm
you?
Selfish.
You're really doing it for
I'm
you.
Totally
You're
selfish.
Doing it for you.
But the more selfish you can be, if everybody got their act together and was totally selfish on bringing themselves into alignment and harmony, guess what the world looks like? Guess what Kapa'a would look like? How cool is it when we start doing things that model what we want to experience in the world? I mean, it's so cliche, but it's so bloody true, you know?
Well, here's what I think about selfishness. I think it's a really good thing if, not in like the invisible hand of capitalism kind of way, not that way. That's kind of blows things up too much. But I think if you are very selfish and you have an understanding of yourself
exactly.
that exists in the context of a community.
Exactly. I wish everybody could see the way our hands are moving. You know, because
yeah.
when you're Italian,
yeah.
you know, it's just you just have to say a lot with the movements. But the idea of selfishness is if you can see the world, what I'm trying to say is if you see the world as a mirror or reflection of some way of yourself.
Or an aspect of yourself.
A big aspect
you,
of yourself.
You, another aspect of you.
Exacto. Then everything you do for you will do unto your brother, as they say, or sister. Or
right. So then I can be totally selfish,
Yay!
But I can serve the entire universe in my selfishness because I have a concept of myself that extends beyond my little meat sack.
Exactly.
Well, let's just talk about your meat sack for a moment. Who are you? Because you're going to, you've already said these amazing things, and you're going to say more amazing things, and some foolish and some hilarious.
Just because I'm reading the notes you gave me. No, actually, I'm just sitting cross-legged here. I don't even have any notes and sort of can't remember anything.
Anyway. But who is Francesco? How did you come to Kauai?
Well, I came to Oahu first back in the 70s.
The gathering place.
The gathering place, because an old teacher pulled me out of pre-med in university and said, you ain't going to learn anything here. You got to come to Hawaii with me. And he's an 81-year-old doctor, amazing wizard, you know, with all his kapuna friends and on Oahu. And
how old were you?
I was, you know, 18-year-old kid in college with a full scholarship. And
a freshman?
Yeah, I was a freshman. I did my first year, ready to go into the second year of a
full
state.
And he said, no, college is not for you.
Yeah, I met him giving a lecture there, and I went to him after the lecture, and, you know, it's in one of my books. I wrote the story out a little bit, but the cool thing with this guy was that he pushed me in this hippie era to cut my hair, take off my earring, come to this place called Hawaii, and drop into the culture. He threw me into halau. I was the only haole in this halau, and all of a sudden I started to immerse in and start hanging out with kahunas, these beautiful men and women who were teaching me different kinds of things.
Did they teach you ho'i'i?
They taught me that kind of stuff.
And ho'i'i? Oh, ho'i'i.
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 Mostly what they taught me was to stay open and to listen and to be in the land and to walk out into the forest and to eat stuff and remember who I was and let go of all these other ideas about healing and really understand how we fit into the aina, how we are a critical part. The aina isn't this thing outside of you. It is you. And then you start looking
at it. And if you're selfish, you can take care of it.
It's yourself. That's an extension. It's no different than your arm that you look at extending from your shoulder. That land, Makaleha, is a part of my body. You know, my Kahuna Valley place is sits on this mountain, but it sits on me, and I sit on it, and we are one integrated thing. How could I put anything but organic, you know, fertilizer on my plants? I mean, the fruit I brought you today, that bag, everything's organic. Everything is
not
probiotic.
The bag.
It's been recycled several hundred times before it even came here.
All right. Because it's... Well, you know, plastic. We'll get back to plastic.
I got it for friggin' papayas.
We'll come back to plastic because I think that plastic is part of our divine mission. But, you know, we'll get to that later.
Scary. I just don't want to float out in the middle of the Pacific like that little 3-mile island of stuff.
3 mile?
30 mile.
3,000.
I want to kill myself.
It's bigger than Texas.
This is the legacy we're leaving behind. This is why those little babies you just talked about, we have to keep sending love to them and pray that they do a better job than us.
Oh, they will.
They're already doing
it. Oh, no, they will. We don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
No, but all we have to do is listen and learn and allow them to teach us.
Exactly. And be boundary mavericks.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that concept.
That's right. So the name of the show today
is
Boundary Mavericks.
Love it.
Epigenetics.
We love that too.
And the power
of pause.
The power of the pause. So let's review each of those things in order. Boundary Mavericks. What does that mean to you?
Why don't you share it first? Because we talked about this a little bit. I like your ideas to start this one off.
Well, I have my own ideas, but the term isn't mine alone. It came out of a conversation that I had with a beautiful, wise woman back in Seattle in the 90s.
Beautiful.
And she's a teacher at the University of Washington in the sociology department. And for her, she does like gender studies, and it's great, great stuff. For her, Boundary Mavericks has to do with exploring the boundary between gender identities.
So cool.
And it's really interesting how in 15, 20 years from now, all these transgender issues have come so far into the forefront. Like, that never used to be anything mainstream that people would talk about. But now you have all kinds. I met a woman on New Year's Eve at the G Love show down in Oasis, which was wonderful. It was especially wonderful because it started just on time, and then 23 minutes after the new year, boom, the power dropped.
Oh, jeez.
And then the moon was still on, so it wasn't a problem. So everybody was just relaxed and went home.
Beautiful.
But, Yeah, Boundary Mavericks.
I think the cool thing is, even though it may have initially had to be about gender type of boundaries, I think the real thing is identity. So for me, Boundary Maverick is how you can look at the boundaries that you've set around yourself. And sometimes these boundaries we think are, you know, these limits, but really they're just your identity. The things you identify with, the things that you hold sacred that sometimes don't let you listen clearly.
What?
Excuse me? I had a boundary around me at that moment. I wasn't listening to what you were saying. You know what I mean? And we do this all the time. And I think so much of what I do when I share Qigong in the teachings I do. Whatever,
I'm
going
to ask you about
share.
That. I'm going to ask you about that.
All right. Well, hopefully we don't run out of time. But anyway, the idea of what energy work is really exploring identity. And I tell that to everybody. And they look at me like, that's not really what Qigong is supposed to be. Well, guess what? Any kind of energy work, you have to redefine how you perceive yourself.
Yeah, but that's hard because I already know who I am.
See, and that's it. And that's the beginning of the end, right? When people say that or you feel that. And even if you say, like,
well, you know how they spell it when they say they know themselves?
How?
N-O. No. No.
I know.
I can't take
myself.
Any new information in about myself. I already know myself.
I know, and it's so scary for people, and I totally understand it. And I've been doing this since I was a teenager, studying with teachers and living in China, doing all my stuff to really go deep. So I would consider myself one of those kind of people who's serious about my introspection and my self-awareness. Even with that, I still see how difficult it is. I see how seductive it is to get caught in identity. With a corporate world around us doing that, we have to really be vigilant and say, wow, catch how I limited myself.
They're all about that, aren't they?
Well, we're not supposed to talk about bad stuff on the show.
Right.
You told me, remember?
Right.
Don't hit me.
Right.
Ow, Jesus, ow.
I didn't. That was you.
Hitting myself? Yeah, because you couldn't reach me. But
no.
You tried to reach
no,
over the board.
No, I am.
Oh, gosh, if people only knew what went on here.
So Boundary Mavericks.
Yeah, so understanding your boundaries, how to engage with them gently and with real self-compassion and just check in and watch how your actions are defined by your identity. And to me, we talk about cancer. Why is America number one in cancer? There's a lot of scientific reasons, we'll say, but it's a lot about identity. And I've researched thousands of people, and I've dealt with a lot of people who had cancer come on my trips that I take around the world. I've taken hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people on these trips. Tens of hundreds of thousands have worked on my DVDs. So I get a lot of input from people. A lot of people with cancer come to Qigong. Almost to a person, we see that there is a self-image or an identity issue at the core. Whether and it sounds weird, but let me tell you.
No, it doesn't.
Go down the path, whether it's my 13-year-old little nephew who got cancer the day he turned 13.
Oh, my gosh.
Or somebody who got a woman who had breast cancer when she had issues with her relationship, self-image. It's pervasive. And if we get through to the pointing of a finger about why things happen from this is the chemicals or this toxins or this thing and get down to what really happens inside, then we can go to the next point of epigenetics and you'll see how it plays into cancer and self-identity and boundary mavericks.
So we talked a little bit about boundary mavericks, and to me, boundary mavericks, the mavericks are people who don't necessarily follow the rules. They sort of know what the rules are. They maybe have some respect for them, but they don't let them get in the way of a good story.
Exactly.
And for me, a boundary maverick is someone who is not outside of the herd. They're not out there in deep space somewhere.
They're leading it.
They're at the edge.
Yeah.
At the edge of the known universe, and they got maybe 1 foot in and 1 foot out, and they're exploring that new space, that liminal space that we don't have a firm understanding of yet. And that's where new knowledge comes from, the edge of what we already know. So that's
beautiful.
That's something I think about boundary mavericks. But that's only one part of the show. We've got boundary mavericks, we've got epigenetics, which you just said, and then we have the power of pause. But let's talk about epigenetics, because that's one of those words that's got a lot of syllables in it. What in the heck is epigenetics?
And it sounds complicated, it sounds like one of those kind of things, but actually it's really a down-to-earth concept. An epi means around, like epicenter to an earthquake. An epi is something around or related to.
And a point.
A point or a subject or
okay.
a concept.
Not the thing itself, but around the
around
thing.
Around it, right.
Okay.
So, and genetics, we know about genetics, and genetics is pretty hardcore science. So when you say epigenetics, it's like, well, what's around genetics? This is a new concept of our ability to influence how a gene expresses itself. And a gene is part of our cellular makeup that encodes information to make proteins.
Right.
So when a gene expresses itself, really what it means in layman's terms is how you make proteins. And you say, well, what's that? You think of your muscles. Well, how about thinking of neurotransmitters?
Protein.
Hormones?
Protein.
Okay.
I'm just going to say protein.
Cell walls?
Protein.
Okay, so your body...
I'm batting 1,000.
You're batting over 1,000. It's amazing. So what this research is showing is that we, through our thoughts, through people we hang around with, through our actions, influence the way our genes express themselves, how we build our body, heal our body. Our emotions are all about hormones, right? Hormones out of balance, neurotransmitters, how you think, how you act is all around how your genes express themselves, and we have absolute influence over this.
Well, that's what you say, but that's not what everyone says, because epigenetics is kind of a radical rethinking of the science that we've had for the last 30 or 40 years, yeah?
Right, which was basically saying you're programmed by your particular genes.
And that's it.
And that's it. And you have to live out the causality of that particular karma.
No free will, no determination.
No.
And your mood doesn't have any effect on you.
Exactly. It's just an effect.
The behaviors that you engage in don't have any reciprocality.
Just an effect. And how about massive research in epigenetics showing how even things like communal attitudes and cultural attitudes towards money, as they did in the Jewish community. They did a massive study. It was beautiful. And they started to realize how, now I know it sounds weird.
I don't know yet. I you haven't said it yet.
What it says is that people's attitudes toward things like money is epigenetically inherited.
Is that like the transmission of culture?
Pretty scary, isn't it?
Is that what that is?
Yeah. Transmission of culture, transmission of attitudes,
and
behavioral propensities, and as well as things like hair color and all the things that we associate with genes. But epigenetics talks about not the change in the gene, which is a string of DNA.
Yeah, that's just information, right. So they say.
Yeah, that's programmed information, this beautiful double helix.
The code.
Right, the code is laid out, and chunks of DNA are what we call genes. You know,
those are the little halves of the ladder rungs that click into place and create that spiral chain.
No, a gene is a chunk of the whole helix. So if you take a 75 section of this double helix, you call that the gene that does X.
Okay.
And they've identified a lot of genes, but we don't know jack all about most of them.
You know, about the Human Genome Project, we're like, we've mapped the entire human genome.
Please.
Genome.
That's like saying we've composed every song that's possible. I don't think
so. Well, because we have all the notes, right?
Yeah.
So then we're done.
No, I don't think so. So what's beautiful is that...
So we have a map, right, of the entire human genome, but we have no idea what's on those continents.
No, and in those genes is the whole energetic and karmic map that goes back to the original mama in Africa that... Our mitochondrial DNA still carries in every single man and woman on this planet.
Now, again, that's not inside the peer-reviewed, firmly corroborated, absolutely dogmatically accepted consensus on science.
No, and science doesn't want things to really be that changeable. See, this is what Prigogine said. He, you know, and lots of people, and what all the spiritual studies really is about is, as you pointed out, free will and the ability for us to influence our bodies, mind, and spirit. And so the cool thing here with epigenetics is it so ties into the science. And here's the cool thing. You're not changing the DNA coding. You're not changing the gene itself.
The hard wire.
That hard wire is fixed. But guess what? There is protein...
Wait.
Protein like smearing. Imagine smearing a protein on top of these genes. It's emplaced proteins that blocks the ability for the gene to express itself. Just like if you put some red cellophane over a light.
Yeah, an example. I need a concrete example.
Okay. Imagine this idea of this protein now acting like a cover that's covering up the light. And now instead of having a 75-watt light bulb, you only have a 30-watt light bulb.
Yeah, because it's dimmer. It's a different color.
Haven't changed light bulb,
right?
But now you've changed the color and you've changed the luminosity just by this protein emplacement.
Okay.
That's what epigenetics is about. And where does this protein come from? Thoughts, intention, attitude, people you hang around with, influences around you. This affects the way our bodies express themselves.
So you're saying that epigenetics relates to the idea of being careful who you walk with.
Exactly.
Hanging around with the wrong crowd.
The thoughts that you think, whether you speak them or you just carry them inside. This is why it's so important to go into our next third phase when we talk about the power of pause, because there's times for self-reflection so we can catch that stuff and understand how we can displace those, that covering that comes over the genes, so our body can fully express its beautiful perfection.
Well, on that note, let's take a pause. This is Jonathan Jay. You're listening to Out of the Box on KKCR. Special guest for this afternoon is Francesco Gatti Agarepoli. We'll be back in a moment. It's more Yola Tinga. Out of the Box with Jonathan Jay every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Well, every other Thursday. Today, special guest, Francesco Gatti Agarepoli. Where are you from? Where's your family from?
The southern part of Italy, called Basilicata.
Basilicata.
It's on the same latitude as Napoli, Naples, but it's up in the mountains.
Hilltown.
Yeah, actually a town called Venusia, which was for the goddess Venus.
So, I've heard of her.
Yeah.
The goddess of love and beauty.
Yeah, that's where my grandpa's from, and I've been there many times. It's an amazing place with fabulous ruins as part of their goddess cult, you know, worship way pre-Christian.
She would love it here where we are right now.
Yeah, I think she is here now, actually. She took the same boat I did to come over.
Yeah, well, you know where we're seated right now? The Moku of Halelea.
Beautiful.
Hale means house. Lea, yeah. Beauty. Pleasure, house of beauty and pleasure.
We are so fortunate to be on Kauai.
That's the Moku, the district of Kauai that we're in right now.
That is beautiful.
The signal, the transmission, we're transmitting in a number of different places from around the island, but one of them, the main one, which I'm very, very happy to say, I'm very happy to hear, we are back at a full 6,000 watts of transmission power. So if today the show just sounds a little bit more clear, right, a little bit more crisp, if there's just a little bit more punch and scintillation, that's KKCR back at full power again.
And that's because of everybody's great donations and support, which I'm proud of being a part of however I can, and it's so cool that we're all part of the signal. every watt of that is the community.
Yeah.
Which is why I love this station.
Well, you know, that's what this station is. It is the people who live here. And, you know, shows like this one, community affairs shows, we're always looking for more people who want to come in and help make community affairs, help want to do programming affairs, public programming affairs. It's not easy to do if you're doing a music show, which is also not easy to do, but at least you get to, like, pick and choose from pre-produced segments. The stuff right now, oh, we're making it up. We're making it up as we go. Oh, I didn't say that exactly the way I wanted to say it, but we're moving on.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving on. So the power of the pause. You know, there's so much going on, so much racket, so much snow, so much noise, so much media, so much information, so much processing power.
Sure.
But man, you also just got to unplug.
It's not easy. It could be very overwhelming. I see it every day in people, how they're just exhausted from that. It's okay. I mean, it's part of it. It's part of the choices we have to make.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes it's good to shift the choices that we've been making.
Exactly.
I know that's true for me. I know I've got some serious shifting to do. I try. I think I make some progress. I think this is a better show now than it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, totally. I've been listening to you all these years, and it's cool to watch your evolution and your heart. I mean, because, you know, it's not easy being authentic. You think it is, but, you know, when you're on the spot, being authentic is kind of a curious thing because you feel like you want to do the right thing, you want to say the right thing, you want to, you know, whatever. But this is an example, and I know this is part of your work, you know, of who you are, to do this show so you can be, just like when I'm with Tracy, I watch her coming from her heart. I really see that pause part is slow it down. You know, slow it down. Be there and really let it come out from your gut. And that we're all learning this, so we're all doing it together. You know, whatever you hear us saying, it's you hearing it and us all working together to create this. So I think the pause is a critical thing. We just slow down enough, and sometimes it's a split second.
Mm.
You know, it's not like I'm gonna sit here and kind of go into this new age thing.
1001. 1000.
Count to 10, Jimmy. 1000. Before you blow up.
1007. 1019.
Sometimes it's a split second. It's like that split second. And you know it in your head when you took that moment to shift the vibe and go back to your heart.
If you're breathing in and if you're breathing out.
Yeah.
And if you're present with that.
And that's why I like Qigong. You know, Qigong is just a reminder for people both to look at your identity and to find some exercise that consumes you for a few minutes where you don't think about what you have to shop and get, what you have to do at work, all these kinds of things, your money issues. You have to do something where you can disengage from the noise, even for a few minutes, and then you watch the whole reality around you shift.
Yeah, but that's hard to do. It's because when you disengage from everything, it's kind of lonely.
Yeah.
Because, like, for a split second, it's just you, and, like, that could be terrifying. It's like standing on the edge of a precipice, and you're like, oh, I could fall, but it's actually completely fine and dandy to stand on the edge of a precipice. All you gotta do is stand there.
And you may discover something beautiful about yourself that you didn't give yourself credit for.
For me, I'm fairly quick of tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, the power of pause has to do with the things I don't say. You know, the space that I allow.
Exactly.
The opportunity for Jonathan J to STFU. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've got a caller standing by. Are they ready to go on? Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, I agree with your guest, and I'm sorry I haven't been able to listen to the whole program, so I don't know who he is.
Hold on for a moment.
Okay.
Wonderful guest. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Francesco Garipoli. Nice to have you calling in.
Can I say who this is, caller?
You bet. My name is Marge.
Aloha,
hey, Marge.
So, a couple things, and I certainly go along with Imua, proactive. I am so sick and tired of trying to fight things that I really want to be involved in the community groups that are going forward.
Yeah, I'm not doing it anymore. I am no longer fighting against the things that I disagree with. That's my new thing for this year.
And may I say that I agree with your guest that you and you yourself that your show is increasing in quality very nicely. I'm reminded some of the things you said really early in this show of how Gene Shepherd, do you know who he was back in the 50s?
Gene Shepherd?
Gene Shepherd, yes.
No.
Fabulous, fabulous program on the East Coast coming out of WOR New York City late at night. And a lot of the things and the way you were saying those today, early on, Jonathan, reminded me of him. And he is my mentor for radio. Anyway, that's it. Out of the way.
Well, you know what?
What?
Now that we're streaming worldwide at kkcr.org, this is late night radio.
That's true. It is. Or middle of the night someplace.
Or it's 5 in the morning in Bologna right now.
Yeah. I had friends who were opening up restaurants in the New York City area who would listen to all the wonderful Hawaiian programs, you know, music programs, and, you know, when they're opening up or cleaning from the night before, they could listen to this beautiful Hawaiian music that we were playing.
Caller.
So.
Caller, could you speak up so we can hear what you're saying?
Okay.
There we go.
Better?
Oh, that's so much better.
All right. So, last night I attended a meeting in Poipu regarding the Mahala Epu Ahupua'a of the Kona Moku. And this is what I'm really excited about that's happening on Kauai. Our state has found it enterprising, I guess is a good word, to start talking about the value of recognizing our Moku on each island and all the various Ahupua'a.
What is a Moku?
Moku is a section of land, and there are 6 of them here on Kauai, and I don't think I have the map in front of me at the moment.
I do.
Good. Well, the one in the north end, what's that one called?
Well, you've got Napali. It's a good place to start.
Well, okay, which side? Does it start there on the west side?
Well, you know, a circle is round, so you can start anywhere.
Okay, so where you are now, we're at the radio station. What moku is that one?
Halelea.
Halelea.
House of Beauty and Pleasure.
Okay, then the next one down.
Ko'olau.
Ko'olau.
And that means the propped up leaf. And the reason why they say that is because the trade winds blow on that side of the island. And when the wind is a steady, strong force, the leaves in the trees get lifted up. And they stay tilted up as if they're propped up by sticks.
Hmm.
Ko'o means to prop up with a stick. Lau, like lau lau, that means leaf. So leaf propped up by a stick.
Fabulous.
Yeah, it means windward. It's the Hawaiian way of saying windward, which is so more evocative and present.
You are full of information. Thank you. I learned something. I'll share and learn more. Oh, okay, we here on the east side from Kealia to Mahala Epu, we are in the Puna district, P-U-N-A, and I'm sorry, I don't know what that means.
Puna means springs as of water, because when the weather comes in from the northeast and hits the Pali on the interior, you see all those waterfalls, well, they immediately go into the ground. Mm-hmm. They get absorbed into the ground, and then that groundwater percolates up, downhill, and so all of the rivers and streams in the east side in Puna, the Moku of Puna, are spring-fed, by and large. So Puna is springs as of water. And the reason, you know, the reason why Napali is called Napali is because Napali means the cliffs. So what a crazy idea to call that cliffy part of the island the cliff part of the island. I mean, that's an amazing genius.
Yeah. And what's the one after Kona?
Kona is out in the far west side is Mana, M-A-Makron, N-A-Makron, so Mana.
Yeah, okay. What does that mean?
Mana means a dry place. Mm-hmm. And I think it's related. And, you know, if there's some Kanaka, Maoli out there who understand the layers of these things more deeply than I do, please call in at 826-7771. But I think that Mana, it might be related to mana or mana, you know, the wisdom, the power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That would be great if someone would call in with the absolute definition to these. In any event, the meeting last night in Poipu was very interesting. It was extremely well attended. It was stand-up room only. It was held in a private home. very generously, and many people of color were there, and I don't know how else to identify them, but the reason
people? You could say they're people?
Pardon me?
You could describe them as people.
But no, I want to say people of color.
So not just Hollies?
Not just, no, I don't use the word Holly. They weren't just white people, okay? And the reason I'm bringing this to a positive attention and a positive thought is that I attend a whole lot of meetings in this community, and there aren't too many people of color who attend the meetings that I attend, and I think that people of color probably should be there, because all these matters that I'm interested in for the positive side of Kauai should be of interest to the people of color as well. There were people of color at this meeting last evening, and I was very encouraged about that. I'm not exactly sure what their motive was, because it was questioned at the meeting.
Who questioned?
The colorless people.
The colorless people are,
yeah,
like,
usually,
we who have no color want to know why you who do are here. What is your motive?
Well, we don't know. However, there were many there, and I really appreciate that. Whatever their motive is, it was an opportunity for all of us to come into the same room.
Regardless of our color state.
Of where we were, what house we were in, and who was there, and face each other, see each other, even if we didn't have a private conversation with all of us or each of us, we were all there together. To me, this is a positive sign for Kauai. That's the point I want to get across. And the more that these MOCO meetings are happening, and there will be one for Puna, either at the end of this month or the beginning of February, the date and places to be determined, but hopefully we will get that information out on the radio so that people can attend who are interested in learning more about this MOCO and Akukua'a system, and in my opinion, how it will lead to really positive results for our entire island and all of our residents here. I'm very thrilled about that.
Well, I think that anytime different colors get together, you have a better chance of getting
a rainbow.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And I would not want to live in a world without rainbows.
Well, I'm encouraged. Now, the very second thing I want to talk about, and I'll try to do this briefly. Many people know, particularly on the east side, that there is a development planned for a Kapa'a area around the roundabout. It's near the roundabout and the
Kapa'a Middle School.
School area. And it's called Hokua Place.
Yeah, you know, just like the hotels, that every year or two or so they change their name. I cannot keep track of that. I just cannot. I'm like, oh, my name's Bob. Oh, my name's Thomas. So tomorrow I want you to call me Susan. It's like, just pick a name.
For this
project here, originally it was called the Kapa'a Highlands.
Yeah.
And that makes sense to me.
And what you were just talking about, when things like this happen, it causes a brain freeze in my brain, and I can't catch up anymore, and I get discouraged. You were talking about the anxiety level of all of us because there's so much bombarding us today, you know, if not something here on the island, in the world that we live in. And it's hard. It's very hard to keep our anxiety level down and our blood pressure down because of this. So I just want people to know that what is being proposed here first is a zoning change, and to me this is the most important thing to pay attention to. Not the development itself, which is being proposed by Greg Allen, the developer, and his business partners. It's a zoning change that is being asked for with the Land Use Commission, I think it's called, the LUC, which is a state organization. And what is being proposed here is to change the zoning of all these acres, and it's hundreds or in the hundreds, from ag, which it is currently, to urban residential. this is a major, major stepping stone.
Well, people, I'm sure, who aren't familiar with the different categories of land use zoning will say, okay, well, agriculture is one category, urban is another. They sound pretty same to me. I mean, what's the difference?
I don't know the definition that the state has, but on ag land, the only residential buildings that you can have that I'm aware of are farm buildings, not residential buildings that would be sold to perhaps middle to high-end people who have families and a well-kept yard, maybe with a gate around it to keep their dogs and cats in, and have no ag business. If it's ag land, they have to develop ag on the property. They have to sign a paper saying that they will do that. If it's residential...
Or urban. Urban sounds even more intensive than just residential.
Yeah, yes, because there's going to be retail inside this.
Retail? Store. Wait, what?
Yeah, retail stores inside.
Stores?
Yes.
That doesn't sound very agricultural.
Well, no. If it's turned into urban residential, stores are allowed to happen.
Yes. Well, the thing that is the takeaway for this project that's under consideration is that the upshot of all of these different, you know, minutiae, the this, the that, the zoning shift, we're talking about 800 houses, which is like 3,000 people, which is like 3,000 more cars, all going into the traffic circle in Kapaa.
And out the bypass road.
And up Olohena by the school. And I'm not sure what the technical term is for adding 3,000 people to a traffic circle, but it's a cluster.
I have a, yeah, there's
cluster.
Words.
You know, it's escaping me.
Look, I've called the road people about that road down from Kapaa Middle School down Mackay. That is a scary chunk of road, especially if you drive a Harley like I do.
Mm.
And I called them a few times on it, and they're good people, and they always take your name, you know, and. We can't keep up with what we have already. But you have to know there's agendas behind stuff and reasons why you do one thing that leads to another thing. Basically, the most important thing is we all have to get our voice out there.
That's
the most important thing. So if rather than complain and point fingers and stuff, I get on the phone and I call, or I go down to the county council or planning department meetings, and I get my voice heard and do it in a loving, great way. And we recently just shifted the whole image around ADUs, which is additional dwelling units on ag land. So we made it happen. We did it in a non-adversarial and beautiful way, the community. So everything is possible. And I was so proud of the county council. It was a hard decision and the planning commission, but everybody worked together. So
what was the decision?
Well, you know what, caller? We're going to do the top of the hour stuff right now.
All right, well, I'm going to get more information out to KKCR about this because the deadline for entry into the state LUC is January 23rd. So just as your guest has pointed out, we can influence them in a positive way, and we will be getting out. There's a group that will be getting out the email information and the major points on this because this is the issue to me, the zoning change. This is what developers do in my history on this planet, is they can sell this property for a whole lot more once it gets urban residential rather than ag. And we really do not know what the intention of the current developers are. That's my point.
Well, that's a great point, and we're going to come back to some of the issues that you raised. Thank you so much for calling in today. Appreciate that. Happy New Year to you. And we're at the top of the hour, so we're going to take care of some station business. You're listening to Out of the Box on KKCR. I want to thank you so much for that. This is KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, and we'll be back after these announcements.
Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai. Agricultural biodiversity and sustainable farming practices such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
The Kauai Concert Association and Berklee College of Music proudly presents the annual Berklee Kauai Scholarship Fundraiser Concert, Sunday, January 11th, 4 p.m. at the KCC Performing Arts Center. This year's concert features international vocal quartet, Women of the World, and visual artist and classical Indian dancer, Rekha Menon. Also, music and dance workshops on Friday, January 9th from 3 to 5 p.m. All proceeds go to the Berklee Kauai Scholarship Fund. More information and tickets available at 245-SING or online at kauai-concert.org.
Out of the Box would not be possible without listeners just like you and partnerships with underwriters like Kauai Life, like Tahiti Nui, and like the Kauai Concert Association. So mahalo nui loa to all of you. And if you want to go to kkcr.org, you can listen to the stream there, or you can also click on the donate button. That's a great way to get involved, start off the new year right, feeling good. And we've got a new campaign going on for a new HVAC system. The old one is Pau Make, 17 years of service. And now we need to invest in new infrastructure. So if you want to help out KKCR, help us running clean and smooth, and especially keep the equipment, the electric equipment, dry. That's a really important thing. Right now we've got the doors open and the fans on, but we're still in here sweating for you because we're the station that loves you.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Moloa'a, K284AL, Haleiwa.
Thank you, Dean. Dean is our general manager here and a wonderful, wonderful human being. Happy New Year to you, Dean. Happy New Year to you, listener. Happy New Year to everyone. 826-7771 is the phone lines here. They're open right now, yeah? No? Open. O-P-E-N. Ready for you. First-time caller. Never called in yet this year. Mr. Francesco, we've got a lot of stuff on the table. We're talking about boundary mavericks, exploring the edges of what is known and what is unknown. We're talking about epigenetics, that mysterious surrounding of the genetic code that allows for nuance, it allows for innovation, it allows for what we're doing to have an effect on who we are in a hard coding way. You know, you have like the basic stuff, and then you have what you're swimming in, and then the power of the pause, just a chance to think about it. Tango in the background. Got that from my sweetie pie, visiting all the way from the other side of the world. So nice to have you here. So nice. So nice. And I know you'll still be thinking about me when you're back on the other side of the world, bicycling through the back streets of Bologna. But today, we're all on Kauai. A pico, a belly button from the center of the Ring of Fire, the watery side of the world, the international dates line. It's a beautiful thing. So beautiful in each and every one of its manifest myriad facets, even the ones that are so seemingly contradictory, like Qigong and Harley Davidson.
Do you know I wrote a whole book about that stuff?
The Art of Motorcycle Maintenance?
Well, this one is called The Tao of the Ride.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And it's a cool, you know, I'm...
How lucky, how fortunate that I would ask you a question that you happen to have written an entire book about.
Well, it seemed important to me because a lot of people thought it was a dichotomy for a guy who has lived in temples in China and went deep into these kind of spiritual sort of things. And I play loud rock and roll and love my guitars and riding a loud Harley with modified pipes that make them even louder. Not super loud, just louder. So, you know, I'm a middle-of-the-road guy, you know, when it comes down to it. But
wait, because they could, you could have super-duper pipes?
You have really super-duper pipes.
What, on a scale of 0 to 10 for the super-duperosity of the augmented pipes, what pipes do you have?
I'm just a 7, man.
I'm just a 7. That's like not 5.
I'm a 7. That's not 5. And no. It's not 1, but it's not 10 either.
And it's not 11.
Right, it's not 12. Right. I there's a lot of guys here at 12, and I love riding with them. They're called straight pipes. This means we've taken all the muffler stuff out of the muffler, and it's just a straight pipe.
So they're not muffled. They're not mufflers anymore.
But let me tell you.
They look like mufflers, but they don't muffle.
They don't muffle at all. They're not even a muff. It's not even the muh or the moo. Here's the cool part of it, though. I know why people who ride Harleys want that feeling.
Is it a feeling or is it a noise?
It is a feeling.
I thought so.
And can we tie it back to the power of pause? Because I'm a guy who likes to make sure everything's woven together. When you're a guy who has worked his butt off, his okole
off. Let's see. Yeah, you're pretty lean. Okay.
And here's a guy who has worked a hammer all day on a roof, or he has worked his plumbing or construction job, and he's put every spare penny he could into his bike.
This is the you-he.
Not me-he, any-he.
Oh, okay.
Any guy.
The we-he.
Yeah, me, I've done it my own way. You know, okay. I put a lot of Qigong dollars into saving up. But my bike I have now is the same one I had when I was 12. It's just, I've had motorcycles since I was 12 consistently, so they continually to inherit the few bucks from the one before, and I put a little more into it. So it's really an evolution. I've had 100 bikes, so they've all just kind of been part of it. Anyway, a lot of guys are like that. There's a moment when somebody sits in meditation that there's a healing that goes on. When you see a rough, tough guy with scars and he's a hard-working person or she's a hard-working person and they get on that motorcycle, it's their selfish time. It's their quiet time. No matter how loud those straight pipes are, there is a moment of quiet where someone has gotten into themselves and they've become totally mindful. You can't ride a motorcycle unless you're mindful.
Actually, you can ride a motorcycle without being mindful, but boy, does that motorcycle ride come to an end fast.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
And everyone I've ever ridden with here on the Sons of Kauai,
West Side Chapa.
These guys are so mindful and so cool and care for each other and come in consciously. And I know that might be the only moments, that ride they take from Waimea to Hanalei and back might be the only real quiet time they have in their whole week. The rest of it's filled with paying the bills, taking care of family, going to job, worrying about life, worrying about stuff. When you're on your bike, you don't think about those things.
You shouldn't.
You can't really. There's something, unless you ride, you don't know that. There, like just when I play guitar, when I'm on stage and I'm playing and singing and playing this loud music, there is nothing else that exists. I can't think about the sale of paper towels at Costco. There's no place in my car.
Are they on sale right now?
That's a great deal.
Oh, really?
So you can't think about that sort of thing. You're consumed with it. And we don't have enough things that we're consumed with that can totally absorb us. And in those moments of pause, in those moments of quiet, no matter how loud it happens to be, there is a piece of healing that takes place. There's a part of collecting our identity and understanding who we truly are. It's a fabulous dichotomy, but just like the Pope said, you pointed out the Pope earlier, one of the diseases he pointed out was, I love this. This is what really secured the Pope, who has my same namesake, Francis, as me.
I know that.
I couldn't resist it. Yeah. But Francis means, like I wrote you an email, Francis just means outsider. So the dude's an outsider. I feel like an outsider to the planet myself. But anyway, here's what he said. One of his 15 diseases, besides the one you talked about, spiritual
Alzheimer's.
Get this one. And you know, you read it too. It's so beautiful. Existential schizophrenia.
Wait, what?
He said it. Look it up. Check it out. Check out what the Pope wrote. Existential schizophrenia.
Existential schizophrenia.
This is one of the diseases that the curia, or the head leaders, you said that it was a clerical group. This is more than the clerical group. He was talking to the
dudes. You know, I just misspoke out of ignorance because I don't know that much about the Catholic Church.
Yeah, well, I'm Catholic, Italian, you can't help it. I've been to the Vatican several times. And my uncle, or he'd be a second cousin, I guess you'd call him, is a high bishop, the Bishop of Bari. And he just stepped down.
Oh, sure. That's a place.
Yeah, Bari is a big city.
B-O-D-I?
B-A-R-I. On the Adriatic, on the
east. B-A-R-I? Oh, Bari. Okay.
B-A-R-I.
Bari, okay.
And
by the heel?
A little up from the heel, kind of the shin, you know.
Okay.
And yeah, shinny heel.
Oh, that little part that sticks out?
A little up from there, yeah.
Okay.
And you see Bari. It's an amazing port town. And he's been a high bishop, archbishop, for many, many years of his life. I visited the Vatican under his invitation, coming in through machine gun carrying guards to him.
Aren't they sexy?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But he stepped down because he was ready for a change. But I think when you see who the Papa, who the Pope was talking to, it was to people of his ilk, these high level people. And he was one of the good guys. He's one of the.
Hey, now you're not just saying that because he's your uncle.
No, I watched him. Here's a man who devoted his life. I've known him since I was a kid.
Did you watch him with a critical eye?
Very critical.
You're like,
I checked in on his.
You may be my uncle, but I'm actually a guy.
Hey, don't worry, I'm watching you. You ain't gonna get away with nothing. No, he's one of the cool guys, and there are a lot of cool guys in any system. Well, who the Pope was talking to, the people who were abusing power and who got too comfortable in their identity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anyway. Existential schizophrenia. Let's bring it back to the Harley riding.
So schizophrenia, that's like...
split mind.
Yeah, multiple personalities.
Right. And how many of
us... And what's existential? That's like one of those terms from Kierkegaard or those surrealists existentialism.
Yeah,
I mean...
It just means...
What does that mean?
To be in existence, survival of your pure existence, your pure survival energy.
Concern about being.
Just being. And it could be a little selfish, but schizophrenia means now you've got two identities pulling for your survival. And what he was talking to, the Pope in this case, was saying that too many of these guys were talking out one side of their mouth and living a different way. You know what I mean? You know, some of them were putting on the big front, but living in a way that was detrimental to their spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
And
this isn't just about like all those crazy scandals and stuff.
He wasn't even addressing that.
Not even about that.
These are the guys who come out talking, you got to follow the rules, you got to do it this way. He said they were
now kiss my ring.
Yeah, now kiss my ring. And he said they were forgetting the heart.
Yeah.
They were forgetting what the spirituality was behind the religion.
Mm.
And not to get caught in the religion. This big
the bureaucracy of the house itself.
And the comfort of the bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. You got a high position, you protect that position.
Absolutely. I mean, because it's comfy.
It's comfy. And
it's cushy.
You watch how they live.
The robes are plush.
So he's addressing this thing. But
which is amazing.
That's fabulous.
Which is amazing. I mean, how in the world is that going on?
He's a Latino. He can't help himself. And I don't
He's a new world pope.
He's a new world pope. And I don't think the people who voted him in, even though we know it's divine intervention, they didn't know it was coming. And I think he's really coming from his heart. And it's a system that needs a lot of work.
Wait.
I'm not supporting it, but...
Wait. It's a system that needs how much work?
A lot of work.
A lot.
More than I want to take on, which is why I'd rather talk about Harleys. It's about looking at that what appears like a dichotomy. How do you find quiet on something loud?
Well, help me love that, because I guess I can understand the difference between a sound and a feeling, because anything that's making that much noise, if it's like, if you're sitting on it, if it's like on your thighs and crotch, that's a lot of rumble.
You don't know.
Baby. I don't.
You don't know.
I don't. You know what? Maybe it's as simple as that. Maybe I should just sit on it and I'll go, oh.
You can take a ride on my Harley anytime you want. And you feel, what you feel is a certain vibration that
literally
that sets your body into a certain harmony. And guess what, I did some research on it, and there are healing vibrations, and as weird as it sounds, Harley, which had never had the intention for that, seems to fall into this particular thing, just like all the brainwave research that I do. And I've developed that cool brainwave feedback system,
which we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah, we don't have to, but it's all about the frequencies that we vibrate at naturally. The Earth vibrates at 7.83 hertz. It's about 8. So we'll say the Earth vibrates at 8 hertz.
That's a million times a second.
Yeah, it's a human resonance. And this is a human resonance is a powerful vibration that science talks about, not spiritual people. It's actually the vibration between the Earth's surface and the ionosphere. It's a measurable thing.
It's the Earth ringing like a bell.
Baby. And the ancient Chinese always said that number 8 related to the Earth energy.
Well, what do they know?
How curious. Somebody intuited, 3,000 years.
You have a culture that's existentially stable for thousands of years. Like where our computers today, outdated, obsolete, can't read the files from 15, 10, 30 years ago. Literally cannot read them. Chinese caricatures, 2,000 years old. You can pick up a text that's 2,000 years old and you can read it.
Plus, the cool thing in living in China, what I discovered was out of the 51 major languages that don't sound anything like each other, it's not like Italian sounds like Spanish. These are completely different.
How many alphabets?
One.
Yeah, crazy.
So is that the coolest thing?
It's amazing.
So it was an efficiency measure, but the cool thing is that it exists.
And some people put that together, like what, 2,200 years ago?
So you and I could be from different villages. We speak a different language.
Totally different language.
We can't talk to each other, but we can read the same newspaper.
Yeah, that is magic.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff about Chinese culture, and I've lived there, and I can speak from experience, but there's so much great stuff, and I think the young Chinese are in a place where they're starting to revisit their past, which is really wonderful.
Well, it seemed like the 19th century was kind of tumultuous for China.
And the 20th is even worse.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Yeah, those two centuries.
The rampant
is kind of
consumerism of the late 20th century and the beginning of this century is nuts.
Yeah.
But there are people who are trying. It's going to take some time to work it out, but they've got to go through their thing. And they've even said, hey, America went through its polluting period to grow, and don't stop us from doing it.
Well, it's the crisis of modernism.
Exactly.
And, all of that technology, all of that industrial capacity, all of that liberated energy is stored for millions of years as oil or coal. When you suddenly tap into this stored reserve and liberate it, oh my God, you've got all this crazy, huge new amount of energy that all of these systems have to accommodate to. They have to adjust.
Exactly. And I pray that if we bring it back home, and talk about Kauai, that we don't have to go that path and say, well, Kauai has to grow this way.
We don't have to do anything.
We don't have to have another 800 home development. Maybe that's not the right thing to do. We don't want to completely nix growth, but I think we need to be cautious and conscious, and we all need to work together to have our voices and environmental impact studies out, just like we did with the super ferry.
Which we didn't do.
But we pushed for an environmental impact study.
Right. And
that's all we have to do. I've always said to everybody, don't go the fight of emotion. Don't go any fight of reactionary thinking or adversarialism. Simply, let's go back to protecting the INA first. Then everybody's got to come to a level playing field on that way. And it's from the heart. Then you all have to sit back and go, well, maybe we have to modify this decision. But it's not from fighting two viewpoints.
No.
We got to come back to a single selfish viewpoint.
We got to synthesize that larger selfish view that includes everybody.
Exactly.
Democracy, everybody talks about how wonderful it is. I know I was brain laundered with the beauteous wonderfulness of democracy. And it's good for people to have a say in what occurs in their community. But 51%? Really? We're looking for 51% solutions? Really? If you take a test and you get a 51% on it,
you still fail, but
that is not an A. That is not a B. That's not even average. I think that we could do better.
And I don't think that the original Greeks who sat around creating democracy, because that's their word from their language,
sure,
right?
We're demos, still, meaning people.
People. And we still use these words that are, we'll say that one's probably about 2,800 years old.
Yeah.
2,700 years old.
Yeah.
So
almost. We could just call it 3,000.
Let's call it 3,000. And I don't think they worked toward 51%. I don't think for them it was, let's see who the toughest guy who pushes you out of the circle the most gets it. I don't think they worked that way. And what I've read, and there's some good documentation in early democracy, they really worked toward a unified view, and they welcomed opposing viewpoints, but I think they were more like the Quakers, where let's not leave the table until we could all step out of this room with a sense that we were happy with the decision.
Well, the thing that strikes me about a winner-take-all system is that there's nothing left for the rest of us because the winner has taken it all, and that's not a very sound solution.
And it leaves 49% sometimes.
Yeah.
Very unhappy.
Yeah.
And that is...
And who's for that? I mean, honestly, like, who is for, like, I am okay with 49% of the people being totally left out in the cold. You should totally ignore them. I mean, like, this last election we had, you know, Bernard got, like, 14,000 votes. Dustin Barca got, like, 7,000 or 8,000 votes. So...
But I was
Bernard became the mayor, which is fine. But what about those 8,000 other people?
I was really concerned about the 2,530 whatever who didn't vote.
Mm.
They voted for other things on that ballot, but they didn't click either of those two candidates.
Hmm.
That was a big one for me when I looked at, because after elections I go onto the website and try to see what the state has accumulated in data. It's very interesting to see.
It is, and there's amazing information embedded in that.
Yeah, and that took me, you know, it's just a page of stats, but I took about 20 minutes or so to really absorb it all, and those are the little numbers that meant a lot to me.
Hmm.
And it was like, not only was that strange disparity in who gets to be mayor that doesn't even have the majority, just the majority of the voters, not
right.
The majority of the people.
Right, because there's 70,000 people on the island, but only 40,000 are registered, and not all of those registered voters voted, only like 25,000, and obviously only 14,000 out of 25. Yeah. I think these are probably adding up. You at home with paper and pen, please check my math. But, you know, we're talking about, what is that? That's like 17-18% of the community.
Yeah. But it comes back to choice. It comes back to the individuals making that choice. I always, you know, I was in, where was I? Somewhere, Australia or something, or Indonesia, and I came back. I made my flight to come back to vote, even though I know I can do the invisible ballot. What do you call that thing?
When you're
not here.
I call it permanent absentee voter.
Yeah, something like
that. And that's actually awesome. I love that, because permanent absentee application, mm-hmm. the form, mm-hmm. PAA, PA'a, in Hawaiian, PA'a, which means solid. And those are what are called super voters, because those people vote every single time.
Well, I think it's our choice to vote, and I think we should take that choice. And even if you don't like, you know, what's going on, man, it's just, to me, the voice is a voice. Otherwise, you can't say nothing. You know, and I don't like to vote absentee ballot. That's the word, absentee ballot. I really like to be here. I want to go in the booth. I want to stand there behind the curtain and do my little bit, you know, and say my thing. But beyond all that, it's the energy we put in, and I pray that we all can keep doing good stuff to make this beautiful place stay beautiful. I was in 14 countries in the last 6 months.
Wow.
Okay. That's a lot of traveling. And I do that a lot. You know, sometimes I'm on the road a long time teaching and doing the things I do.
I was only in five different countries.
That's a lot of countries.
Yeah, for me it is. Yeah.
Yeah, and any one of those countries will remind you how awesome Kauai is. Any one place you go to, even if you go in the United States.
Yeah, even.
Yeah.
Actually, especially.
Yeah. And you come back here and you go, I can ride my Harley anywhere on this island. I've never locked it once.
Mm.
Anywhere I go, anywhere I park it, I never have locked it once.
Well, that'd be it'd be terrible if you know forgot your keys and then you were like locked out of your Harley.
Yeah. What's even better is that you can leave it there and people look at it and nod and go, cool bike, and respect it. And that's what I think we have here is this beautiful respect. You know, when I pull out into the crazy traffic everybody complains about, but I don't have to wait 20 seconds before somebody stops and lets me
in. I know, they just stop and they wave you in.
You know, these are things we don't take for granted.
Flash them the shaka.
Exactly.
Move slowly and elegantly into the flow.
And I pray we teach the tourists. You know, you can whine about the tourists all the time, but they're learning. When I see four or five rental cars go by and not stopping, and then some bus up pickup truck lets my bus up pickup truck come in, I'm going, yeah, that's really great.
Well, that's aloha.
Yeah, that's aloha. And I know people are watching. Those people in the rental cars are watching that. And I know we have
come
to
come on,
message.
Go, go, yeah, come right. on. I gotta hurry up and get on vacation. Every moment is precious.
That's right.
The thing I love about being stuck in traffic here is you're here.
You hear, man. You get to look at stuff. You go, hey, I never noticed that. Hey, look at that. Or you see somebody in the car that you knew on the other side. You know.
Or you look at the profile of those mountains, and you're like, wow, I never saw that waterfall before.
Power of the pause.
The power of the pause.
Like a pa'a pause, you know.
Yeah.
That stretch, man. That's like a meditation. You know, you just say, what am I going to do with that time?
Well, right now, you're listening to Out of the Box on KKCR, the community radio station that loves you. We are KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. I'm Jonathan Jay, in here every other Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. in this time zone. Today, our guest is Francesco Garipoli. You're a man of many talents.
I like to do a lot of things. I don't know what talent there is, but I sure enjoy...
And you're humble.
Life, you know? I mean, life is so cool, right? Today, I spent most of the time with earphones on. So I'm with you with these headphones on. But earlier, I was recording some vocal tracks with my dear friend, goddess Tiana, who is laying some vocal tracks on some new songs I've been writing.
Laying down some tracks. Yeah. What are you guys working on?
I'm finally getting my act together and putting together a CD.
Hmm.
So I'm...
Wait,
do
people still make those?
Well, it's going to come out in some form. You know what I mean. A CD is a collection of songs that you freeze in time and say, this is a set of music I want to share with the world.
Have you considered making an album?
An album is a way to say it. Yeah, you can. It's not vinyl anymore.
It could be. People still do that. They're like, ooh, they love the velvety analog sound.
U2 sold over 40,000 copies of its new album on vinyl.
Hmm.
That's cool, I thought, you know. But for me, I just want to get them recorded. And it's so hard to slow down enough. I mean, I've got a third book that's pretty much written, 245 pages written.
How many more do you need?
I need to edit it, basically. I need to edit it, really hone it down, you know. And so it will happen. But so there's a lot of things I want to get done. But the music is one of the things I really need to get finished. But it's so been fun and having Tiana's vocals on air. And it sounded really cool. And it's like, yeah, it's starting to happen, you know. Yeah, our dear Todd Walker has been getting involved.
DJ TOD.
I am so proud of him. And
he's a genius.
He is a genius.
He is a genius.
As a person, he's a genius. As a bass player, he kicks the serious butt. And I love him, you know. So it's so cool to have this great energy coming into the music that I'm sharing. So I'm happy. Makes me happy.
Hmm. What motivates you to do that? What makes you make music? Because I know that... The truth for so many people who do this, and I'm just going to wager that's true for you, is one of the reasons why you do it is you can't not do it.
Pretty much. You know, when, you know, an artist who paints, they have this thing that comes through them. They might see a scene, and the only thing that consumes their mind is, how do I capture that and share it with others? You know, a photographer, you know, a writer. I mean, for me, music, there's songs coming through my head all the time. And I'm so grateful, and I think for me it's just a metaphor for energy flowing, this infinite energy flowing through us. It just takes the form of a song, and I hope it makes people happy because it makes me happy. So I figure if I'm in my joy in sharing them, then maybe other people can get inspired to do something creative for themselves too, you know, with whatever their joy is, whatever their creative expression out of the infinite is.
Do you want to talk about the different colors of people? I know that we were talking about that.
Yeah, I have to. Let's address that.
I thought maybe.
First of all, I want to make it so clear that I have a color.
What color are you?
I am, you know, in the scheme of things, I have an Italian color. You know, I'm sort of a brownish kind of reddish color. And when my father was going to grammar school in New Jersey, when they came from Italy, he didn't speak English. And he was one of the many immigrants who didn't speak English. And guess where he sat? On the back of the bus with the blacks.
Mm.
And all the Italians.
The black people. The people who are the color black.
Well, they had their color. And my father had his color. And so those colorful people sat in the back of the bus and became great friends. And all the Italian neighborhoods were right next to the black neighborhoods. And everybody got along just fine. And it was the coolest vibe. So we've always felt that Italians were not white. We never liked to be considered white.
Well, you know, a lot of the northern Italians will tell you that. If you're from Italy, from too far south, I don't know where, different Italians draw the line in different places.
It's like northern Southern California.
South
you know?
Of Rome, south of Naples, you know,
but that's
Sicily.
But that's only when you're in Italy. As soon as you get out of Italy, Italy becomes unified.
Mm.
You know, it's right after World War One again, right?
Mm.
Boom, let's unify it. So unification and you know, community seems to be reflective of distance.
Say that again. Say it again in a different way.
Okay. When two feuding communities on Kauai...
Like red shirts and blue shirts.
Yeah, red shirts and blue shirts. And they're battling it out next to each other. But when you're talking about being from Kauai and you're in Europe, it's one place.
Okay.
So distance helps to heal sometimes separations.
Sure.
Because
it's
a perspective thing.
Hmm.
So, and that's cool. I mean, that's part of who we are. It's part of that identity thing we talked about before.
Whiteness. I mean, that's a very curious thing.
I get so bummed out about that. So I totally have a color. I mean, I love my color, and I am a person of color, and I will hold that true because I have to be part of the rainbow. If I'm part of the rainbow, I got to have a color. There's no white. You know, white is all the colors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you
wait, white's a color too?
No, it's not a color. It takes all the colors to make white.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Okay, so you can't be to say I'm white. That means you're copying on somebody else's color, dude. Pick color, fuchsia, purple. I mean, pick your own color, but don't claim white because it's an attitude issue.
Well, and the other thing is, I don't know if you've ever seen a white person, because I never have. I mean, I've seen people who are fairly pale.
Yeah,
but they're not. Enough. They're not. I mean, white is like,
white's
like paint.
White's an attitude, man. And I don't want to have that attitude, man.
Yeah.
So color, we're all color, and we should pick our color and be proud of it and understand that.
And we should love the other colors too.
Because they're part of the rainbow. You don't separate a rainbow. I got rainbows at my house all the time, and all those colors blend into each other.
Mm-hmm.
You look really carefully. Sometimes I take pictures and I look.
There's no line.
There's no line.
There's
they
no line.
They gently mix, and the greens go with the reds and the blues, and it's so beautiful. That's what we're meant to be, and that's where the world is evolving the way it is, and it's so beautiful to be alive at this time to watch the cool mix of the world coming together.
What do you think about race?
I'm not a race guy. You know, I like to go slow, and you know, the finish line, to me, you're already on the finish line, so where's the race? You know, I don't understand it.
Well, I ask because different colors of people sometimes fall into different categories of race.
Oh, yeah. Somebody's racing for something. I really can't understand who even made the track and who made the rules. You know, I grew up in a wonderfully multicultural world. I lived in Washington, D.C. for many years, where I had a band where, you know, I had four black musicians and me, and we had a great time. Nobody ever thought about this kind of stuff, you know? I had a band where all women and myself.
Color were they?
I don't remember. They were so beautiful. And we had so much fun gigging, and nobody thought about it, you know? And so I'm used to it. Plus, I was born colorblind, which is curious. So my rods and cones in my retina are tweaked enough, you know, that it's the metaphoric reminder, you know, like, dude, don't even fuck it. You can't even tell colors anyway. Don't even think about separation.
I was going to tell you red and green, they're not actually next to each other on the rainbow.
You know, I can't see them anyway, but they look pretty. You know,
no,
I could see them.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, I see the colors, I just don't know the name. Somehow there's a weird thing.
Well, you're actually probably lucky like that, because then you're not stuck with, I know what blue is.
No, but I trained myself to do graphics design in Hollywood for a while, and had, you know, a big staff working for me, 45 people, and the clients never knew that I was colorblind, and I did some really cool work. So
I bet you did stuff that you weren't supposed to do that looked cool because other people weren't doing it. So.
Yeah. And then I just remember the numbers, because there's this, in digital graphics, there's three numbers, red, green, and blue. Number for every color, so I could just remember the sequence of these numbers. So I was young and crazy. So, so yeah, there's ways to get around everything.
And now you're just crazy.
Now I'm just crazy. I'm still young. I feel younger than I was. So much older than I'm younger than that. Now. And that's how we should be, right? We should just keep rediscovering how to rejuvenate our attitudes, how to rejuvenate your spirit, how to rejuvenate your body. Man, I do 5 miles on my mountain bike every day on Kahuna Road.
You're a lucky man.
And I love it. That's
a lucky loop. Do you just do the Kahuna loop?
No, I just do
Kahuna, Kauaiha.
I do the run from the water tank about where I live all the way out to, you know, Kapahi Park and back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's probably about 8K or something.
That's like a nice gradient.
Yeah, and I pump it, and I love it, and I say, man, this body, it doesn't have to get old. I mean, yeah, you feel the aches and pains, but it's back to the epigenetics part. If my attitude truly influences the way my body is rebuilding itself every second, right? Your cells are dying and being reborn every second. And remember, genetics comes from the same root as to be born, right?
Genus.
Genus, and... you know, so we have to remember
the generative, the birthing.
Yeah, exactly. So we're constantly being reborn every day. Certain cells are replicating every few minutes, other ones every few hours, every few months, like bones. But we're constantly redesigning our body. And the fact of the matter is, the atoms in your body will be completely different in this couple of years.
They cycle through.
Subatomic particles are leaving all the time.
They come and go.
It's like Friends, you
know. The skin, you slough it off.
So we're constantly changing. So who are you? Who are you?
Who?
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 So
who?
That's the question to keep asking. Who?
It's a good question because if you know the answer, you're not gonna discover what you are gonna become.
That's why the Zen tradition of Buddhism is so beautiful, because they have what's called the koan, and the koan is the unanswerable question.
The kauna.
Kauna. You know, you basically just ask that question, like, you know, some of them were like, what's the sound of one hand clapping? Or if a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound?
If a tree falls in the woods, does it still come down?
Is it still a tree? Yeah. Now, you know, it's not about analyzing. When I see people start analyzing, I start to see what the Western mind is all about.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to say, oh, yeah, that's cool. And then just feel it. And not to look for an intellectual answer, but to feel what the questioning does to you. Right? It's like saying that the journey is more important than the destination.
What? No. Are we there yet?
Down, Silver.
Are we there yet? I have some friends who are so smart. They're so smart. They look at all the little teeny tiny details of things. And I'm just like, wow, how can you do all that? And they talk about how complicated the world is and how we live in challenging times, complex systems, difficult challenges. Da, 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 da. I'm like, yeah, that's true, but it's also really simple.
What epigenetics, from a scientific point, shows us from a spiritual point, is that the worldview that we carry, right? That worldview.
What about the worldview that we cower from?
Cower from, yeah. I was cowering from my worldview for
a
second.
Yeah, don't do it.
Our worldview defines the world we view.
Somebody,
how cool is that? I love that.
I don't know where I saw this, but somebody once, recently, this isn't like an abstract, it's not a fairy tale. I read this recently, that we don't see the world as it is, we see it as we are.
That's one way to say it, sure. It has to be. What else can we see? We're all carrying filters around with us, whether you like it or not. So it's just to be, you know, conscious of those filters and be gentle with yourself and not to get upset when you see something crazy. Just say, wow, thank you for showing me that edge of my trust, you know? Thank you for showing me the edge of my trust that I'm dreaming awake in this beautiful infinite universe. And that seems to make life a lot more fun for me, you know?
Well, it's a lot better than hating everything all the time. I hate. And that's Cornelius Point with I hate hate. I hate it so much. I hold on to it so firmly because I hate it so much. And I know if I just can hate it enough.
But I hate to hate hate. You know, that's the big thing. It just really annoys me. Keep hating hate.
It's tiresome.
Hatefully.
It's tiresome. I don't really hate. I just don't have any time for it.
Imagine if we could all just keep dropping back into some form of loving something. You know, it doesn't mean you deny your feelings, your emotions, right? I mean, that's, you got to be real with your stuff.
You know what? I see a lot of really smart people make that mistake. They see, you know, like with politicians at the national level, the demagogues and stuff, and they see how, and I'll just use the word Republicans, you know, because I could use the word Democrat, but whatever.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
You know, you have these kind of political warlocks who are pulling these gears and levers and, like, making people feel certain ways about other groups, like, oh, those welfare queens, or oh, those North Koreans, or oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they just, they work people's emotions. They play them like a fiddle. And so I see a lot of smart people, they kind of go, ooh, you know, like, ooh. They step back from that and they go, I am only going to be rational. I am going to set my emotions down. I am only going to think clearly. And you know what? That's no good either.
The key is your emotions carry power, or chi, we'll say, mana, prana. They carry a power, and they're there for a reason. And yes, hormonally and biochemically, we create a particular energetic in our body so we can experience these emotions. They are not to be controlled or managed. They are meant to be transformed.
They're meant to be.
Yes.
You feel things because you're supposed to feel them.
Yes, and how beautiful to feel them, and then to have the choice in that moment to shift and transform that energy into a higher level of order.
Is it going
to
rule you, that feeling?
No, but you use the juice. It's like jet fuel. If somebody gives you all a tank of gas, you don't pour it down the drain. You put it to use, right? It's like,
yeah, you dump it all over your coals and you start that barbecue, right?
So, and that's what anger will be, for instance, or fear or grief. These kinds of emotions are just like pouring it on the flames. But if you channel that energy properly into an engine, you can do some incredible things with it.
Yeah, the embodied energy inside 1 gallon of gasoline.
Wow, amazing.
And if you take that and you refine it and then you put it into the tank of a Harley-Davidson motorcycle with straight pipes.
Which gets better gas mileage than a Prius. So when I'm riding down the road on my big Harley, right, and I'm having a good time.
Making all that noise.
Making that noise, and I see some Prius go next to me and give me a face. I'm going, I'm getting better gas mileage than you are.
And they have two motors, two engines in their car.
Yep.
And did you know that?
Yeah, and their battery's going to rot in about 7 years. But anyway, I have nothing to say about anybody, but the point is, don't judge a Harley by its rider. I mean, by its cover, or a book by its Harley, or something like that.
Now, what's your book about Harleys called?
No, seriously.
Tao of the Ride.
Tao of the Ride. Like, so how that's about a synthesis of the Tao.
Yeah.
Qi Gong, that energy. Mm-hmm. You talked about a little bit about the Harley-Davidson and the thrumble. Tell me about Qigong. How does that, what's the Qigong way to understand that? Or what's the Harley-Davidson way to understand Qigong?
That we are much more energy than we think. We are physical, but we have an energetic component that we don't give enough credit to. And when we understand how to work with the energy component, the Chinese called qi, well, that's all that qigong means, is energy work. Gong is like the same Chinese character as kung fu. It's exercise or a discipline. So working the energy is what qigong's about. So learning how to breathe, learning how to use your body more efficiently, posture and stretching, and how to use the yi, or your
the yi.
The yi is your,
the yi.
It's an ancient word. It's really cool. It means your creative visualization.
Where does that come from, or how does that manifest? Is it a visual thing, or what is...
It can be for some people,
yi.
But the yi, and that's why you think of the upper dantian, or the third eye, and then you understand a little bit the science about the pineal gland, and how we create this inner imaging, and how research in neuroscience shows that images that we create in our mind is treated exactly the same way as images we see with our eyes. So
we don't differentiate between them.
No. So the more, this is back to the epigenetics, the more we can picture a healthy body, the more we can hold a positive image of ourselves, the more that we can see our body in alignment and whole and complete and perfect, guess what? What kind of influence is that going to make on yourself?
Wait. I'm going to guess that will have an expansive influence on you.
Because the alternative sucks. And that's what we do. We all have been hypnotized into the alternative, talking about our problems, this hurts, that thing. We identify with the issues of the edge of the challenge, as opposed to coming back to this core idea that what I hold in my intention can shift not only my physical body, but my spiritual and emotional body.
I think sometimes also when we have a diagnosis, then you have an excuse. Sure. You have like, oh, I can't do that because I'm bipolar. Oh, I can't do that because I have attention deficit disorder.
Exactly.
Whew. Thank goodness. Now I have an excuse. I'm off the hook. I don't have to do anything. Everything's groovy. In fact, I love my maladies because they set me free. I don't have to try anymore.
And they redefine your identity. They redefine your boundary. And this is seductive because
it's seductive.
Because we're all searching for identity. It's a natural human sense. We want to be part of a community. We want to be part of something. But we have to at one point erase all that, become selfish, come back to our core identity, understand that my core identity is exactly as yours, and now we're reconnected at a higher level.
No, but I'm very special.
I know that, Jonathan, but that's why I'm here. But you separated us from this big table, and it makes it really hard to be close to you, but I still understand energetically what you're trying to say.
Well, I'm really special in the same way that everybody is really special.
Imagine if we could all carry that. Imagine as a kid if we're given that love and that image to carry on.
I was pretty well loved as a kid. I had some rocky times since then, and I have some bad habits, but I have good instincts.
Right on.
And that's what's kind of carrying me through.
Well, what was that great Kauai study that it's a longitudinal study that's over 40 years running right now about they looked at a couple hundred Kauaians back 50 years now probably.
So like 1950s, 60s? Mm-hmm.
And it took these people and asked them a lot of questions about who they were. And then it tracked them over all these decades. The people who lived quote-unquote successful lives, which had certain metrics for success. It wasn't about money. It was more about happiness and being part of the community and so forth. There was one core piece that tied everyone together, that they had some person in their life at a young age who loved them or cared for them unconditionally.
You know, it's a pretty great thing if you can get that in your life, or if you can give that in your life to other people, because I think it helps make us all stronger and more vibrant, capable of loving other people. And that sounds pretty good to me.
Beautiful. So if you had it in your life, then pass it on. Pass it forward to some young child that you hang with. If you didn't have it in your life, then really pass it on.
Seek it out and pass it on.
And because you're going to give the gift to that child as they grow, because that's called a protective factor. If you give that protective factor to that child, they've got an edge that others don't have. So, you know, and then we learn how, when we can love unconditionally and help and support others, guess what? We start doing to our own self-image.
Wait, I think that we start to appreciate ourselves
Say it. You can say it. Dive deep. You can do it.
Without unnecessary and ridiculous destructive self-criticism.
So beautiful, huh? What a cool world we live in. Have the opportunity to do this. And to explore this stuff.
Wow.
And make it real. To me, it's not just like if it stays in that whole intellectual space or new age space, it's like total BS for me. But if you can apply it and bring it in every day.
Make it real
and
take off your slippers. Get your toes down in the mud of the lowy.
Yeah, then you realize, man, this life is just about being joyful, understanding how tied we are to each other and
family, community,
so cool.
Ohana.
Yeah. Good thing.
Well, you know, it's things like that that make KKCR, Kauai Community Radio. The only reason we have the lights on here, the only reason why I have this board with this equipment that separates us
deeply
with all these, you know, pots and pans and dials and such, is because people in this community for the last 17, 18 years have banded together and pooled their resources and made this broadcast facility available to each and every one of us. And the audio that we make goes into these microphones, and it goes down the fiber optic lines, and it crosses the island, and it gets turned into microwaves, and it gets beamed up to Mount Kahili, And then it gets broadcast there in the resonant space.
So cool.
In the resonant space.
And that's a vibration we set up for the INAH. And I know it's something ancient, even though it looks like high tech. I don't think the ancient people did it much differently. They did it their way with their technology. You know, whether it was playing drums or chanting, you know, through hula. This island culture radiated that kind of loving energy at its highest frequency.
Yeah, it's an energetic emanation.
Yeah, you wouldn't have words in the language here like mana if you didn't, you know. Understanding things like this, you realize what the best part of this culture is all about, and that's why we're here.
Well, you know, I was not blessed to be born here. I've only lived here for less than a dozen years. I lived on the edge of the Pacific Ocean in Seattle, Puget Sound, for like 24 years before I came out here. And I thought, you know, I was told growing up that I lived in a civilization and that there were, you know, uncivilized peoples out there in the rest of the world, typically of color. And that's not what I've discovered through my experience, through my lived experience. One of the things that was really struck me is that the Hawaiian culture, they don't have a word for orphan in their culture because there's no such thing as an orphan. Not that, you know, accidents or tragic events don't occur and then children don't have their parents, but then they get immediately adopted into other families. So they're never without family.
Exactly.
Now that's civilized.
Plus, like things like
that's civilized because that's a level of care and compassion for every single person in the community.
Exactly.
That's a very high level of civilization. If you have another culture who like, those aren't kids, aren't mine. It's like, wow, that's kind of a very emotional low level of civilization. And technology, you know, the West has all this crazy technology, and that's like capacity or ability that's been bundled up into some object and exists, is embodied outside of ourselves, you know, like the cell phone or these lights. But the ability to accomplish those same goals, like to communicate with others at a distance, you don't need to have a piece of machine. You don't need to have a little titanium and silicon chips. And you don't need all that stuff if you have a very high level of cultural technology.
And we all have that inside us. Just like we said before, we all carry the mitochondrial DNA of the original human mama, the original Homo sapien. It's in us. Beautiful black African, whatever we call Africa now, continent.
Guandanaland.
Yeah. So we have that in us. So I love technology. I mean, I love my high tech and stuff. But
I love
it
too.
But I make sure it doesn't separate me from heart.
I like technology that connects me to other people.
Yeah.
And I really, really appreciate the ability to do things without a technos that is outside of myself.
Right.
Like when you have a strong understanding of the social fabric, of the kinship, of the relation of everyone to each other, that's a kind of social technology. Mm-hmm. And it creates a solution for orphans so that orphans never have to exist. Now, you know, they didn't need an app for that. You see what I'm saying?
Right. So you just have to stay in heart space. If you can stay from that core truth in yourself, you can do anything. You can use any technology. It will not block the flow of that clarity from your core and your heart. So I think when we let things get in the way, then that's a problem. So we've just got to keep coming back to these truths about who we are. And that's what we've been talking about today. And I'm really happy we had a chance to explore some of these things.
Yeah, exploring some of the boundaries of what is known and moving out from the epicenter and allowing quiet space.
Amen. That's a nice way to pull it together. And, you know, I don't know any answers. You don't have any answers.
I like to try. If I can ask a good question.
Exactly. I'm constantly asking that koan. I don't really want to know the answer. I just want to know the feeling of the process. And that's what brings us together. It makes community. We keep discovering all along the way. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Francesco. Can I call you Frenchie? You ever get that?
No, I really don't like that very much. This was all going so great until that point. But
all right, hold on.
Could you hit the rewind button?
So thank you so much for coming in, Francesco.
It's really great, Bob. I mean, Jonathan, it's been great.
You can call me anything, but don't call me late for dinner.
I won't. You can come anytime.
It's been a pleasure. It's Out of the Box. It comes to you every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. in this time zone. Sometimes we talk about politics. Sometimes we talk about island issues. Sometimes, whoa, we cover the multiverse. I want to thank you for tuning in. It's my honor to be here for you, and it's my pleasure to help make another piece of the community broadcast. Coming up next, we've got Dove, who's going to evolve. He's going to evolve with some beautiful music. And hey, Dove, what the...